Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. Every week, we'll take you behind the scenes of street ministry, sharing stories from Salem and beyond, talking about faith in action, and exploring what it really looks like to love people who are often overlooked or forgotten. Matt Massera has dedicated his life to meeting people where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Matt reminds us that no one is beyond hope. This is The Hope Dealer.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for being here with us today on this episode of The Hope Dealer. For the next two episodes, we're going to have Eric Razor with us from Soaring Heights Recovery Homes. And his testimony is amazing and really encouraging to me because it's a testimony of what God can do in a man who has believed on the gospel. And he's going to share a little bit of his testimony, and that's going to head into what it looks like in Soaring Heights Recovery Homes and how God is using him all over this community here locally to set people up for success. And so this is Eric. Thanks for being with us today, brother.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me here today. So Soaring Heights Recovery Homes, we provide sober living homes for individuals here in Marion County. And we just kind of talk about that a little bit before we lead into my story, because that's how we got to where we're at with Soaring Heights. So we work with individuals recovering from substance use. We have five homes here in Marion County. Three are right here in Kaiser for women with or without minor children. And we have two in Salem for men with or without minor children. My story is kind of what led me down this path in my life. I personally struggled with addiction for about 30 years. My path always led me to prison. First time they sent me to prison was back in around 89. I was in there for 10 years. Didn't learn my lesson. Got out, thought alcohol wasn't my problem. So I started drinking again, and that really just kind of led me right back down that path again. In 2007, I was getting arrested again. And somebody I didn't even know was coming out of my house with my six-month-old daughter in their arms. That was the last day I ever used. I decided right then and there at that time that my daughter wasn't going to be raised in the same type of environment that I was. She's been with me ever since. I got full custody of her shortly afterwards. She's never lived a day in the life that I used to live. And through that journey, me and Victoria, who couldn't be with us here today, that was also another really big part of Soaring Heights Recovery Homes. We're co-founders. Someday she might be able to come in and tell her side of the story, but I'll leave that to her. But at Soaring Heights, my past experience, I don't know how you explain it. 30 years of addiction, and one day I stopped. Just that one day, and I said, I'm done. That was not me who did that. That was an intervention from what I believe is the Holy Spirit. God stepped into my life and said, you're done. New journey for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's the only one that can transform a life that goes from what you're talking about. It's just another example of nobody's too far gone.
Yeah.
30 years in the drug world. It's always violent. It's always deadly. It's always evil.
Yeah.
There's nothing good. It flourishes in Oregon. We know that. We see the results of it. But now you have this life of victory.
Yes.
And you've got a kiddo that has not been subjected to it outside of, everything up to that point.
Yes.
And you're a present dad.
Yes, thankfully.
Oh, that's amazing.
Today, yes. Really, really excited. And I often tell people, if I don't do anything else in this life, if I break the chain with my daughter, that's the best blessing that I could possibly get.
Well, that's it. Even as you bring that up, it's amazing because I was able to have conversations with both my folks. They're both with the Lord now, but I was able to look both of them in the face and with gentleness. It wasn't harsh that I was saying this, but I remember looking at my dad as he's asking for forgiveness for all the crime and all the evil that we committed together. And I just looked at him and I was like, because I'm walking with the Lord at that point.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, the hand-me-down stop here, Dad.
Yeah,
I love you. They stop here. But at that point, I'd already exposed my kiddos to some stuff in the drug world, right?
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. Two of my oldest kids, I'm in the drug world and this guy shows up and he is not supposed to be at my home. And I go out, I grab a hatchet on the way out. And after everything is all said and done, we don't get into all of that. I turn around and my two oldest kids are standing in the front window and they watched everything.
Right.
I can never undo that. I can never take it back.
Nope.
I was able to ask for forgiveness, but it's like, then we get to this point in life that you're talking about, you know, where you get to live a different life.
Yes. And so much joy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's it's joy that's not dictated by life circumstances or situation. It comes from God through his son by way of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you and Victoria, like you've got this life, you've got this story. It's an amazing example of what God can do in surrendered people.
Yeah.
And then you've got these amazing homes. And just for everybody that's listening, we've partnered for many, many years. We've been able to see people go straight from Wallace Marine Park and other encampments in Oregon, straight from the street into your homes.
Absolutely.
And be set up for success.
Yes.
And now, you know, many of them are working. They're unrecognizable as the people that we met in those encampments and many other places too.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we've had a great partnership ever since. I mean, ever since we started Soaring Heights, opened our doors in September of 2018. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was very many days after that that we started our relationship.
Yeah.
And we've been able to partner in many, many things and brought many, many people out of the camps back into a structured living environment where they can continue their journey in Christ.
Yep. And people always want to ask, like, you know, who does Be Bold Street Ministries recommend people get plugged into in reference to transitional living? And you guys are at the top of the list. Like, there's our three go-tos.
Yep.
Yep. And you guys are up there.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because you have rules.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if we take a minute here and just talk a little bit about Soaring Heights.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have the five homes. Three of them are for women, two of them are for men. At our homes, we really focus on three key things, right? The first is long-term sobriety, whatever that might look like for each individual that walks through the door. Some will find out, especially when they come straight to us from the camps, that maybe we need to get this individual to detox or residential. And we'll walk alongside them. We'll say, you know, let's go over here for a minute and we'll hold your bed for you and you can come back to us when you're ready. Others just need to go to meetings. Others just need a structured environment to live in to stop using. So we just kind of do an individualized plan with anybody that walks through the door to see what they need. The second thing that we really focus on in our homes is self-sufficiency. Almost anybody that comes through our door is probably not working for whatever reason, but they can be working.
Yeah.
So we figure out what those barriers are to employment and we say, let's get you back in the workforce. 95% of the people who walk through our doors that can work are working within the first 30 days.
Yep.
That's really a big part of our recovery journey here is get back into society and become a productive member of society, to give back, to join some program that allows you to give back to the community service work. The third thing that we'll really focus on that's near and dear to my heart and Victoria's as well is family reunification.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, we've had over 80 children return to parent in our home since we've opened. And that's just it's just such a huge celebration for us.
Can you say that again? How many kids?
Over 80 children return to parent in our home.
That's amazing.
Yeah. A lot of these children are in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are just with another family member or a friend because the parent is unable to take care of them where they're at. We create that structured environment where they're allowed to come back with their parents and reunification process starts. We're almost 100% successful reunifications. In the whole time that we've been operating since, 2018, I can only think of two cases where that reunification wasn't successful. We work really closely with Department of Human Services to make sure support services are wrapped around these parents when they're reunited. It's just been a blessing to watch the growth and the reunifications and the successful people coming into our homes and moving out into permanent housing and the long-term sobriety. And, I think it's been a little while ago, that we were on a Sunday church going into church And we looked around and there was 8 individuals from our home sitting in the audience around us.
I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Getting people plugged into local fellowships that are biblically solid, biblically sound, because it's about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So there's evangelism. We're getting to do that, you know, because we're, Christ-centered evangelism. Go therefore make disciples of Jesus Christ ministry and getting folks plugged in. Yeah. And then they get this different support system called the body of Christ.
The body of Christ, yes.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that... we say we're a faith-focused organization because we don't require it from everybody that walks through our doors, but we celebrate everybody that walks through our doors that chooses that path. It is in mine and Victoria's eyes, it's only one true path to salvation and recovery.
Yeah, and you're right. I agree with you completely.
But
Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and He is the only way to God the Father. But He doesn't force people to get saved. He doesn't force people to believe.
Yeah.
And you, just like us, even when somebody says no to the gospel, we will still offer them the same help that we're able to.
Absolutely.
We're not going to offer them anything that is in opposition to Scripture or that will harm them.
Yeah.
We still offer those folks the same help with the hopes at some point in time down the line, as God's word is going forth and never returning void, that they'll remember whether it's with us there or not, somewhere down the line, they're going, wow, these folks continued to share that.
Yep.
And they shared with me that this price was paid for my sin.
Yeah.
And all I had to do to be saved was believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes we're just thankful that we're able to plant a seed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Casting them all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yes. But it's just been a great journey. And to look at what we get to do today,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what we
used to do
is just so much. It's just hard to explain how much better life is today than it used to be.
Well, and that's what I love, being able to proclaim the hope that's within us and then being able to share the testimony, because we used to both be drains on society.
Yep.
We both were okay with poisoning other people's family members and accepting their money in return for the poison.
Yep.
You know, and it's not a thing anymore.
No.
Like, we're not poisoning people, you know, we're not involved in crime. We're not, involved in, it's amazing. And how many people that you all are helping, especially one of the components I think is amazing. You got a dad's home that reunifies dads with their kiddos.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Which is, I know there's other homes too, like His Pace and stuff, but that's unique.
Yeah, it's not very common to create a space where dads can have their children reunified with them and have it be a safe place for that reunification.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up the fifth house. We opened it up in June of 25,
mm-hmm.
and we literally, first four fathers that moved in there had kids that they were trying to get reunified with.
Yeah.
So it's just a great opportunity to be able to, and a great feeling to be able to provide that service, especially considering my story revolves around me trying to maintain custody of my only child.
Oh, your kiddo. Yeah. Which is an amazing story and an amazing testimony. One of the things that I think is amazing too is you're super in the community, right?
Yeah. So at Soaring Heights, we believe that our mission is just to provide that caring, structured environment. We don't need to be an expert at treatment. We don't need to be an expert on parenting. But we do parenting in our houses now, but that's another story. But, so our partnership with all these good organizations in town that actually do that type of work. Yeah, absolutely. We plug in with them. We partner with them. The more resources that we can wrap around the people in our homes, the better chances they have of success.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, we're.
Yeah, and not only do you don't just sit behind a desk, you actually go out and put your shoes on the dirt.
Yes.
And get out. You get out with us.
Yes.
You've gone out with us numerous times into the encampments.
Yes.
To be there for people. And I know that over the years, there's been numerous times, this is amazing, that we would come face to face with somebody and they were ready in the moment and they were off the street that day.
Yeah. Yeah, and that just reminds me, what event was it? Was it the LA? It was a picnic or something down at the Riverfront Park. I ran into a gentleman there that had been in our homes about four and a half, five years ago. And he ended up back out in the camps. And I just walked up to him and I looked at him and I said, "Are you ready yet?" And he said, "Yes, I'm ready." Gave him my card, said, "Call me. I've got a bed for you." Just really heartbreaking because he's such an awesome guy. Just really, really cared for that guy. But it's the addiction.
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle.
It is.
And it's, people, we have choices to make.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I was presented a bunch of opportunities. Like, and I was, when I was homeless, it was self-inflicted.
Yep.
You know, I think I've got it all figured out. I'm selling tons of dope. I got this other business. I got blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Right. I keep doing all the stuff. Eventually I lose it all. And then I became a junkie on the street. And so I lost everything because I'm not being responsible because I'm in the drug world. So I lose everything. I lose my housing multiple times. That was my fault.
Right.
Somebody didn't do that to me. When I got kicked out, that was my fault.
Yeah.
It was my fault. It was self-inflicted.
Right.
But you're still meeting people right where they're at in the midst of all the self-inflicted suffering, because that really is, unfortunately, the narrative for a lot of folks in Oregon. You know, your past criminal history prevents you from being able to get housing, you know, or you're in the drug world right now, you know, and people don't want somebody that's selling methamphetamine living in their residence. But you're meeting folks right where they're at, and on that you have rules, so people can't use drugs at your house.
Yeah, we are, for lack of a better term, an accountability model. We're structured. We have requirements and expectations, and one of those expectations and requirements is that you stay sober and not use while you're in our homes. If you do, there's consequences. I mean, it's... One of the things that I think is unique about us is we can bring in somebody that, you know, especially when we're talking about somebody that comes out of the camps. The day that Matt brings somebody to our door and say, "You have a bed for this guy," you know, he probably used that day, right?
Yeah, it's highly probable.
Yeah. So if you're ready, this is the last day you use, right? So we've many, many different scenarios on how we work with individuals.
Yeah.
When they first come into our homes.
Yep. And we've been able to see people get plugged into detox and then transition into your places too.
Yep.
Which is really awesome.
Yep.
And then, you know, one of the homes that you have right over here, because it's right near, you know, where we're at.
Yep.
It used to be a known trap house.
Yep. It was.
But now it's a beacon of hope in Kaiser. It's no longer a known drug den, a drug haven, you know, a flop house, any of those things, you know, that define the old life.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just about that house. You know, we did a lot of work to that house. Tons of work after we were able to get a hold of it. And that was God's hand was in that too, us getting that house. But one of the neighbors came up to me one evening when I was out there doing some stuff, and she just said, "Bless your heart and thank God for what you've done with this house." Because they'd lived next to that trap house for years.
Yeah.
For years.
Well, and it was cool because in part of the restoration leading up to you end up getting it, some of the people that frequented that trap house had come up and out of the drug world through Christ and walking in victory, participated in some of the renovations. And then, you know, you had to do a bunch more to get it to the place that you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You know, but it's no longer a place where, you know, law enforcement is, you know, there on a regular basis, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And on one other note, when you share that with me, and I know a bunch of these people, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I know that I can share some folks, you know, Anna, that had just come through your home, came from Wallace, and they've shared, I can share their testimony, and Andrew.
Yeah.
They were both out there.
Yeah.
And see, they just had a beautiful baby.
Yep.
Came through your home.
Yep.
And have since transitioned.
Yeah.
You know, they're no longer in the encampment, and... You know, they're attending local fellowship, they're at you know, Salem Heights Church, being fed sustenance from above. But it's one of just many amazing testimonies of what's happening within your organization. And I think it's, especially where we're at in Oregon, being able to highlight that is really important because we see all the madness and the chaos all the time. But there are folks like yourself that really are out in pursuit of the betterment of the community. And it, you know, you hold people accountable. You, you know, encourage people into taking responsibility for their actions, which is really loving.
Yeah.
And we see the results of it,
yeah.
You know, and what God, how God is using you. And I just, it's amazing. And I know that we're going to share more here in a little bit, but, you know, just to kind of cap this episode off, it's awesome, you know, because I know the faces behind the names.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, I know you know the faces. It's really amazing how many people would come through our homes as, you know, Matt. Oh, yeah, we know Matt. Oh, yeah, we know Matt. Oh, yeah. But with the two that you were talking about, we were just really fortunate enough to be able to give them a place, a safe place to stay for those few months before they took the next step in their journey.
Yeah. Yeah, which is awesome. And it's amazing that when the people are saying that about me, it wasn't, yeah, he was my drug dealer. Praise God that that wasn't the context of them saying, yeah,
that you they sure knew about me. That?
Yeah, I'm positive. if we go back, you know, a little more than a couple handful of years ago. Oh, yeah, we know that, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Bad news. Yeah. Praise God that that is not the case anymore. Awesome.
All right.
To be continued.
Remember, hope isn't found in circumstances. It isn't found in government, politics, or possessions. Real hope is found in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. We'll see you next time as we continue sharing stories of lives changed through faith and the power of God's love. Until next time, be generous with your kindness, bold in your faith, and never stop dealing hope.